I have a question for you. Why is there evil in the world? What is evil? In order to know why evil is in the world, not why evil exists, why is it in the world? We have to understand what evil actually is. What is evil? Satan's government. Now, evil is not the same as wickedness. Sometimes people think if something is particularly wicked, that it's necessarily evil. It may very well have been caused by evil, but it's not equal to evil. It's not the same thing. Evil is Satan's government, and it does exist in the world. We see it all the time. Sometimes we see it and we don't realize it that we're seeing it. Evil is Satan's government. Now, why is Satan's government in the world? And Psalm 94:20 tells us why. Because the throne of iniquity works mischief by the law. The throne of iniquity is Satan's throne. That's the seat of his government. Just like the throne of grace is God's throne, that is the seat of his government. There is also a throne of iniquity that is Satan's seat of government. Satan governs in iniquity. Now, iniquity came into the world, yes, in Ezekiel 28:15-18, really in verse 17 speaks about this, where iniquity was found in Satan's heart because he had discovered that he's beautiful. That beauty made him self-oriented. The first manifestation of that self-orientation was necessarily he started to compare himself to the other angels. How else would he know that he was beautiful? He had to, in his estimation, measure up above the other angels, and we find that that's exactly what happened. He said, I will be above the stars of heaven. I will be as the Most High. So he was elevating himself above the other angels, and he was making himself equal to God. The reason why he did that is because he was beautiful. He thought his beauty made him somehow greater, somehow it distinguished him, that he was greater because he was beautiful. Now, God had given him a place as a covering cherub, and he was indeed a son of the morning, which means he was an angel that was responsible for other angels, covering cherub, that were responsible for helping God with redemption. And so he did have a high position in heaven. Scholars tell us that he was actually the second in charge to God. Now, that didn't make him above the angels the way that he made himself to be above the angels. That just means that there's organization in heaven. Heaven is not chaotic, it's organized. And so he made himself above the angels, and then he tried to make himself above God. In verse 18, he went and he trafficked, it says in the translation, his merchandise. That means that he went from angel to angel and he challenged them. And he said something to the effect of, and it started with this and it went farther, is God righteous? Is God just? Because he discovered that while humans would have redemption from God, angels would not. He didn't understand grace. He didn't understand the character of God. He didn't understand the plan of God. He didn't understand the purpose of God either for the angels or for humans. He totally didn't get it. Sometimes, and this was apparently true with him, and it is true with people, they'll say, well, I never heard of that, or I didn't know, or I'm not aware of, or something like that. And they'll use it as justification to say, well, the Bible can't be true, or something can't be correct because I'm not aware of it, I didn't know it, and so on. That's one of the dumbest yet most common things that people say when it comes to their opposition, particularly to the Word of God. I remember a person one time, we talked on the Bema seat, and he made a comment, I've never heard of the Bema seat, I don't think it really exists. That was a dumb statement. And the reason why it was dumb is his ignorance, in his estimation, was evidence. Ignorance is not evidence. But some people, and this was Lucifer, and this is some people now, they think their ignorance is their evidence. I never heard of the Bema seat, must not exist. Well, you know, there's a lot of things I haven't heard of, and I'm sure they do exist. Have you heard of all the cities in China? I'll bet you they exist. Some of them are big. We never heard of them. They call them villages at 500,000. We call them cities. Some of them are big. I never heard of them. Recently, I was looking at our analytics for our website. We are in places I had never heard of. But we have listeners there. And you know, the fact that we have listeners there tells me, you know, this place must exist. Because we got listeners there. Well, you know what? A lot of things exist that we don't hear of. Satan never heard of what God was going to do. It was unfathomable to him. Grace, for example. Or that God would become a man. That was a tough one. That God would die for man. That was an even tougher one. And then, of course, that angels would not be redeemed, would have no opportunity for redemption, whereby people did. Do you guys know why angels can't be redeemed? Young people in particular? Do you know why demons, which are fallen angels, cannot be saved? It's not possible. There's two reasons. Number one, salvation is by grace through faith. Angels are not capable of faith. And the reason why they're not capable of faith is because in Hebrews 11:1, that which you have faith toward must be not seen. You cannot have faith toward something you can see. You can only have faith toward something you cannot see. For example, somebody goes on a trip to wherever, and they come back and they tell me about the place they visited. I've never heard of the place, and they tell me about it. I have faith that they're telling me the truth, although I've never seen it, but I believe them. That's faith. Now, once I visit the place myself, it's no longer faith. Because now I have firsthand, by sight, by experience knowledge. It's no longer faith. Now, angels can see God. Therefore, they cannot have faith, because all faith is toward and from God. And so it's not possible for them to have faith. The second reason is because angels were created perfect. That means that they had a perfect fall. That even if they should have the opportunity, because the fall was perfect, and by perfect I don't mean faultless, by perfect I mean entirely complete. Because they had an entirely complete fall, even if they could be redeemed, they wouldn't choose to do so. because their fall was complete. For humans, it's different. We're created with a sin nature. We're created in need of a Savior so that our salvation can be by faith. But with the angels, they chose to fall. Adam and Eve chose to fall also, but they were deceived. Their fall wasn't perfect. The angel's fall was. And so there's no opportunity because there's no mechanism. And even if there was a mechanism, there would be no will. So why is there evil in the world? Okay, this is how evil came about. When Satan started to influence the angels as he trafficked his merchandise in Ezekiel 28, when he went to angel, angels responded. There was only one good response. If you responded, God is unrighteous, God is unjust, God is unfair, what have you, obviously they fell. But if they responded, God is just, God is fair, God is righteous, they fell also. And this might give some people a hard time initially. But the reason why they fell is because they stood in judgment of God. You cannot stand in judgment of God. That was Lucifer's first sin. He stood in judgment of God. You don't judge God. You believe Him, you trust Him, you love Him, you know Him. You cannot judge Him. Because He is truth. You can't judge truth. You receive it, you yield to it, you accept it, you believe it. You can't judge truth. And so when Satan judged God who is truth, Satan separated himself from truth. When he did that, afterwards, evil came in. His heart attitude was iniquity. Iniquity leads to evil. That's the natural progression. Iniquity leads to evil. Evil took place when he started challenging the other angels and they responded one of those two ways. The only way to respond to him was, the Lord rebuke you. You see that in Jude. Michael, the archangel, who is now arguably the most powerful angel that exists, he rebuked Satan. Satan is Lucifer fallen. He rebuked Satan. When Satan tried to claim the body of Moses, and apparently there was some sort of a debate, we don't have the details of it, but after Moses went off into the wilderness and died, Satan tried to claim his body. I don't know why, he just did. Michael did not want to give him Moses' body, because God didn't. And Michael rebuked him. And Michael said to him, the Lord rebuke you. That's the only answer that can be given. The Lord rebuke you. Jesus answered with, it is written. But Jesus was God. Michael answered, the Lord rebuke you. That's the only answer they could give him. Two-thirds of the angels recognized that. Two-thirds of the angels said, the Lord rebuke you. One-third of the angels stood in judgment and fell. When they yielded through what became their own iniquity, because in order to stand in judgment, they had to enter iniquity. They had to elevate themselves above God. Whether saying better or worse, they had to elevate themselves above God. Once they did that, they were under Satan's dominion. And that's evil. They were under his government. That's evil. They responded to him, And in that response, they gave him authority that was governmental. That's evil. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, when Eve responded to him, she came under his authority. That was evil. Evil led to her sin, to the fall of humanity. Remember, government and sin are not the same thing. Jesus died for sin. He did not die for evil. And so evil exists in the world because of iniquity. The first thing Satan said to her when he was in the serpent, said, "Does it make any sense to you, Eve," this is how the original language puts it, "that you should be able to eat of any tree of the garden, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil you can't eat?" When he said, "Does it make any sense?" Some of the translations, the better ones, say, "Did God really say?" That made her the judge of what was truth. Her response should have been, "The Lord rebuke you." It wasn't. She ran with his initiations, and then she came under evil. That's where evil entered into the world. Then, of course, when Adam yielded to his wife's initiations, which were initiated to her by the enemy, evil took dominion, governmental authority in his life. Why is evil in the world today? Because of iniquity. Iniquity, in a nutshell, is self-orientation. Now, sometimes people don't realize that evil is active, that the government of Satan is active, because he's very subtle. In self-orientation, people will become self-righteous, then self-centered, then they'll enter self-pity. Satan will initiate to people's self-orientation. The tree of knowledge of good and evil was a tree of self-orientation. Just as soon as they ate from it in verse 6, they became self-oriented in verse 7. When they became self-oriented, they gave Satan that place in their life where his government had authority. It's self-orientation that is the connection to Satan's government. That's why he wanted it. That was the whole point of the temptation in Eden, was to bring self-orientation, because that was the connection between humans and his government. Once that connection was established, he had authority. Our, as believers, connection to God's government is faith. Faith requires humility. Humility is simply, I agree with the Word of God. Now, that in itself requires that I not be self-oriented. You cannot have self-orientation and faith at the same time, because faith is God orientation. So I can't be oriented over here and in the opposite direction at the same time. I'm either oriented towards self, in which case I'm under the authority of evil, even though I may be overtly good. Remember, it's a tree of knowledge of good and evil. Or I'm oriented toward God through faith by means of humility. There are many people who are under the authority of evil, including Christians, because evil is a government. And they'll say, "I'm good," but they're self-oriented and their goodness is self-righteousness. When people stand before God at the great white throne, which will come in just over 1,000 years, that is the judgment for the unbeliever. And there will be those people, not everyone, but among those who are judged as unbelievers, there will be those people who say to God, "Haven't I done many wonderful works in your name?" And God will say to them, "Depart from me, I never knew you, you're a worker of iniquity." Well, a work of iniquity is evil. And so God didn't know them because they never had faith, although they may have been very religious. They may have been very good people. They may have been great neighbors, nice families. They may have benefited people. In the story of rich man and Lazarus, the rich man went to hell not because he was rich, because he never got saved, but he was a good guy. Lazarus would be outside of his gate, and the rich man every single day made sure there was extra food made that would be sent to Lazarus. He was kind to Lazarus. He had a heart. He had compassion on Lazarus. Here's this man. He's very poor. I have more than I need. I'm going to give him some food every day because I don't want him to be hungry. That's kind. He's still in hell. What was it about? It wasn't about God. And I'm not against feeding the poor. I think it's fantastic and people feed the poor, but that's not the same as being God-oriented. It's important that we understand where evil comes from and what evil is, because evil is present in the world. Evil always comes through iniquity, which is self-orientation, and that is the connection. You don't have to be active in it. The connection simply exists. The same way that inside of us, when we're born again, the human spirit is the connection to the Holy Spirit. You don't have to do anything to make that happen. Once you're born again, it just happens. It's there. It's like an OBD reader in a way. It's just there. You don't have to make it work. It's just there. You plug into it and that's all you need to do and it tells you what you need. Okay, the Holy Spirit, you could say, connects to the human spirit, and Satan's kingdom connects to self-orientation, to iniquity. It's just how it works. The parts are there. So how do I escape evil? Well, I get God-oriented through humility. Humility is the key. Number one thing that Christians, really anybody needs, but Christians have to have humility. Why? Because without humility, there is no God-orientation. Without a humility, you necessarily have iniquity. The two are opposites. They're mutually exclusive. Where there is humility, there will be no iniquity. Where there is iniquity, there will be no humility. The two are opposites. And so how do I avoid evil? Humility. And then I get the Word of God to give me God's mind. And I can have God orientation. Iniquity is actually much harder than God orientation. It's much more difficult, much less pleasant. People who have iniquity or self-orientation, they're not happy people. They're always striving, never content. They may be happy about certain circumstances, but their own life is never quite satisfied. That's why you have very rich people who aren't rich enough. Why is that? You have 15 sports car, you need more. You can't have the $10 million luxury yacht, you need the $100 million luxury yacht. Just read about some super rich guy the other day, bought himself an $80 million airplane. His $20 million airplane, I guess, wasn't sufficient. It's ridiculous. But why is it? Because there's no satisfaction. Only God satisfies. Watch out for evil. It's subtle. That's the thing about evil. We say evil, we mean, oh, some terrible thing, terrorists blew up and killed. Yes, that is a form of evil. Absolutely. But so was, oh, that's a nice looking tree. I think I'll eat from that tree, even though God said not to, because I see that it's pleasant to the eyes and good for food and desirable to make me wise. So I'm going to go for it. That was evil also. So watch out for evil. It's not hard to watch out for it. Humility is what you need. You're not going to watch out for it by looking for it. You're going to watch out by being humble. Evil is subtle. It can affect anyone, but your protection is humility. Without humility, we won't have any options because the parts are there. Humility is what protects us from that, because humility is the part that connects us to the Holy Spirit, to God's kingdom. A lack of humility is the part that connects us to Satan's kingdom. Humility is a big, big deal. Sometimes people discount humility. Never, ever discount humility. Humility is the number one thing for people to have if they want a relationship with Christ. If they want to be saved, if they want to operate in the kingdom of grace, you must have humility. Without humility, you can be the nicest person in the world. You will be operating in Satan's kingdom, and you won't even know it. Humility is absolutely everything. Protect humility. And humility is not, I want to emphasize this, it's very important that you understand. Humility is not that you don't think well of yourself. That is not humility. People in the world will describe that as humility because they don't know what humility is. So in their thinking, well, humility must be that I don't think too well of myself. Pride is not that you think too highly of yourself. Thinking too low of yourself is the same pride as thinking too much of yourself. Thinking you're less than is the same pride as thinking that you're more than. It's the same pride, just two opposite sides of its expression, but it's the same pride, just like it's the same tree, good and evil, it's the same tree. Humility is when you agree with and yield to the Word of God. Pride is when you take your own opinions, feelings, thoughts, what have you, and elevate them above the Word of God. My opinion tells me this, therefore, I will disagree or go against or what have you, what the Word of God says. That is pride. Humility says, this is the Word of God. I'm going to respect it as the Word of God. I'm going to yield to it as the Word of God. That's humility. Agreement with the Word of God is humility. Disagreement with the Word of God is pride. That one characteristic alone can determine whether you are in the kingdom of grace or whether you are under evil. It's not your behavior. Behavior is certainly influenced by grace or evil, but it's not defined by your behavior. Do you guys understand this? It's really important. If you want to live in the kingdom of grace, you live in it through humility. Otherwise, you're going to live in evil and you may not even know it. You understand that? If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you. Amen."